It's recording. It's recording. Okay. Can you hear me, everyone? Thank you very much for coming. I was discussing with my Revach what topics I should do when we're discussing doing these shirim. I said maybe I should do women getting aliyahs, women wearing tefillin. But the Revach said that was too easy. We decided on Hashgacha Pratis instead, which is probably one of the most complicated sugyas on planet Earth. Thank you very much, Rabbi Revach, for encouraging me to do this. Hopefully, I'll be able to present something which will help us understand the different shittos and give us a much better understanding of Hashgacha Pratis and how it works. It happens to be today was Yom Yerushalayim, which is probably the greatest day in the entire year to be talking about Hashgacha, because you know some of the greatest examples of Hashem's intervention into the world was something that that I was yet not old enough to see, but something that that so many did see. So, true Hashgacha. Granted, that was Hashgacha Klalus. That was Hashem intervening on behalf of Klal Yisrael, on behalf of world history, not necessarily Hashgacha Pratis, which we're going to define for today and for the next couple shiurim as Hashem intervening in the world for an individual. That Hashem intervenes and changes the way things are going for the sake of an individual. So I want to start by asking a couple questions just to see what people's thoughts are, and you don't not have to answer at all. But let's take the following scenario. Let's say I'm going to have a lunch meeting at Taim Grill, which I do sometimes on Melrose. Melrose is very, very hard to find parking. So I'm running late for this meeting, and I'm very nervous I'm going to be able to find parking. I'm not going to find parking. And as I'm driving up, right at that very moment, a parking spot opens up, and it's a perfect parking spot right for me at the right time, at the right place. So I'm curious what, and don't feel any pressure to answer, who here would think that that is Hashem's intervention and Hashem made that parking spot open up? Who here would think that that was random, luck of the draw? Okay. No one at least is willing to admit to that. I'm sorry?
That's a third option.
What?
Think versus feel.
Sorry? What's the third option?
It depends.
On?
What level a person's on.
Okay. All right.
So if a person's on a very high level, then maybe something as mundane as a parking spot could be considered Hashgacha. But
okay.
If a person's not on such a level, then Hashgacha doesn't come to him in such mundane acts, and he's more to the whims of the natural.
Okay. Very good. All right. We'll discuss that. Let's take a different scenario. Let's say, not as positive a scenario. Let's say, chas v'shalom, there's a lightning storm and a tree is hit by lightning and the tree falls on somebody's house and the entire family inside the house, Rahman al-Atlan, is killed. So is that Hashem's intervention? Is that an act of God? Or is that something which happens randomly? Is there anyone who would change their answer based on the tree example as opposed to the parking spot example? Okay.
I didn't answer the first time, but if I had answered and I'd answered that it wasn't Hashgacha Pratis, this could arguably be Hashgacha Pratis because it's a event which will have greater ramifications in the unfolding of every other event.
So it's much more substantial effect of this as opposed to the parking spot. It's much more substantial, so perhaps it's more Hashgacha in that case. Okay. Now, another question is, which would we rather? Would we rather emotionally feel that in the case where the tree comes and Rahman al-Fan kills the people in the house, would we rather feel that this is something which is an act of God and comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wanted this to happen? Or would we rather feel that no, this is something which is random? So some people would say, well, you know, I'd rather feel that, you know, Hashem doesn't do any bad. Hashem is not going to do something which is so terrible to this family who seemingly doesn't deserve it. I would rather have the emotional feeling that Hashem would not do something so bad like that.
Definitely, nobody would have questioned there was such a Hashgacha Pratis. No question, they all lived. We were all in the house, the tree fell, it came right through the middle of the living room. Two of us were sitting over there, two of us were over here, and it just landed smack in the middle. Nobody would question.
And if the people died?
Then there's people that would say, and you're not. Maybe then they look the other direction.
Okay, right. Because that's really one of the core questions, one of the major, what Charlie's pointing out, is one of the major drivers in the entire sugya of Hashgacha Pratis. So on one hand, we have many, many Torah sources which say that everything that happens in the world is run by Hashem. And especially if you look in Sefer Tehillim, by far the biggest theme, and perhaps the entire Sefer Tehillim was written exactly for this point, to say that so much of what happens in the world is something which is driven by Hashem, how we see Hashem's Hashgacha in so many different ways in the world. On the other hand, there's so many Torah sources which say that Hashem is just, and everything Hashem does is good, everything Hashem does is right, everything Hashem does is mishpat. And it's a big challenge. How do you understand, on one hand, Hashem is doing so much of what goes on the world, on the other hand, everything that Hashem does is just, everything Hashem does is right, and everything that Hashem does is good. So this is one of the major questions, and to a great extent, the entire sugya is going to ultimately revolve around understanding these questions. So I want to discuss three main shitas. I want to discuss the shita of the Baal Shem Tov. I want to discuss the shita of the Rambam, and I want to discuss the shita of the Ramban. Tonight, we're going to focus on the Baal Shem Tov and the Rambam. And before we do the Baal Shem Tov, let's look at a few Ma'amar Chazal, which discuss Hashem's intervention for specific people, Hashgacha Pratis. So let's look at source number one in the Ma'amar Komos package, which is Gemara in Chul and Daf Zion Obeis. Do we have any more actual ones? Okay, so let's look at the Gemara on Chulin Daf Zayin Amud Beis. So I try to underline everything that I want to read just to make it as easy as possible. So the Gemara says, Amar Reb Chanina, Ein Adam Nokeif Etzba'o Milmata, Ela Im Kein Machrizin Alav Milmala. That no person would ever, Rashi says, Nokeif Nogeif, a person would never hit or hurt their finger, Milmata, down here in this world. Ella im kain machrizin alav no mala, says Rashi, gozer alav. This person has a specific gezerah, Hashem. If a person hurts themselves, even if they're just stubbing their toe or stubbing their finger, it's because Hashem decreed upon them, Hashem is intervening in this world to carry out this decree, and this person is hurting their finger because of this. So you see that really on small things, even small things, a person just stubbing their toe, hurting their finger, the Gemara is saying that there's Hashgacha Pratis, Hashem is intervening to carry out his gezeirah against this person. That's number one. Another Gemara, which takes it a little bit further, is a Gemara in Erev and Daftes Zayin Amud Beis. Source number two. Aheichan Tachlis Yisurin. How far would you still say it's Yisurin, which is pain or punishment that comes from Hashem? So the next underlined part. Rabba v'teimer Rav Chista v'teimer Rav Yitzchak v'am v'lov mas nisa tana. Afilu hoshik yado l'kis. Even if somebody sticks their hand into their pocket, it's a famous Gemara, litol shalosh, to pick three coins, v'olu v'yado shtayim, and two coins come up when he sticks his hand into his pocket, this too is called Yisurim. So what it seems like the Gemara is saying, that even a minor inconvenience, and maybe the opposite of finding the parking spot, you know, it takes you a little bit longer than usual to find the parking spot. It sounds like the Gemara is saying that even the minor inconvenience is Yisurim, which means it's coming specifically from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an example of Hashem intervening, Hashgacha Pratis. Adkan HaBavli, the Yerushalmi, has an example even further, which is the next source, Ma'ar Makom number three. So it's telling the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai when he was hiding in the cave from the Romans, a story we're all familiar with. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Avid Tamir B'Ma'ar Ta'atlas Asa Shinin. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was hiding in a cave for 12 years. B'Ma'aras Charuvin D'Truma. He was in this cave and eating only caribs of a place called Truma. Ad She'ela Gufo Chaluda. His whole body was like it was covered in rust. L'sof t'las eser shinin, at the end of these 12 years, Amar lina nafek chami makala ba'ama. Let's go out and see what has happened to the world. So nafek, he went out. V'yosiv le al puma de ma'arta, and he was sitting by the entrance to this cave. Chama chad tzayed tziporim. He saw a
a trapper trapping birds. Paras mitzute, the trapper put out his trap. Shama beras kala umra dimus. Reb Shimon bar Yochai heard a heavenly voice come out and say, free, be free. V'ishtizvis, and the bird went free. And in the
Medrash Rabbah, it has a very similar version. It says the next bird came along, and Basco, a heavenly voice, came out and said, you should be trapped, and the bird was trapped.
Amar, Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, Tzipur mibaladei shemaya lo yibada, kol shekein bar nasha. A bird
without Hashem is not going to be trapped,
certainly a person. So he took that as a sign that he could go and leave the cave.
So the Yerushalmi seems to be saying that every bird that's trapped, or every bird that goes free, it's trapped or goes free because a special decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the bird should either be trapped or go free.
So this Yerushalmi
seems to be taking it to the next level. That not only things that happen to us where we get hurt or rewarded, not only minor inconveniences are hashgacha pratis, this Yerushalmi seems to be saying that even for animals, what happens to the animals is hashgacha pratis. Is Hashem intervening for the individual bird, either he'll be freed or he will be captured. One more source to take a look at from Chazal is the Zohar in Bereishis. Also another famous Ma'ar Makom, many of us have probably heard it. Number 4,
Zohar says, Ein lecha kol esev ve'esev milmata, she'ein
memuna ala milmala v'shomer oso, shemaka oso ve'omer lo gadel.
There's not a single blade of grass down here in this world that doesn't have something appointed above it, milmala, maybe an angel, maybe a mazel, v'shomer oso that watches over it, shemaka oso.
So that this angel or mazel comes and hits this blade of grass for Omelo Gadel. And this sounds like it's saying that every single blade of grass, not just our fingers and toes, not just minor inconveniences for us, not just for animals, but for every little thing out of nature, even the blades of grass, that Hashem is intervening with Shomer Oso, Maka Oso for Omelo Gadel, and is hitting it and telling it to grow. So from these four Mamari Chazal, it sounds like the entirety of nature is all dominated by Hashgacha Pratis, and it's exactly how Hashem wants everything, how it goes. This is, in fact, the approach of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov didn't have a lot of writings, but in many, many, many of the writings of his students, of many different students, it brings out exactly this idea that every single thing in nature is totally driven by Hashgacha Pratis. I printed here on source number 5 is from Mendel of Vitebsk, one of the students of the Magid of Mezerich. But again, the same idea is found in many of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Avid, I apologize, the print is not so good. It's very hard for Rishaim to believe in Hashgacha Pratis like this. She'ein adam nokeif etzba'o, that no one will ever hurt his finger. Ve'ein shum esev yavesh v'ne'akar, there's not a single blade of grass that will be uprooted. Ve'ein shum even nizrak ki im bizman umakom hara'ulo, and no stone will ever be thrown or be moved unless it's the time and place that's fitting for him. Kema'amar el makom asher yipol sham ha'et sham yu. Ve'ein shum tenua gedola uktana min ha'tzimtzum harishon ad shafo ha'madrego sheba'aretz. There's no movement at all in the entire world of any type. Hakol me'ito yisparach, everything comes from Hashem. Kefi chochmaso, bishmo ulefodo, based on his wisdom. Bishmo for his name, ulefodo for his honor. Legalos elokuso v'chochmaso umidoso yisparach chano v'racham, to reveal Hashem's greatness and his cover. So this is the approach of the Baal Shem Tov, that every little thing that happens in the world, from the biggest to the smallest, even rocks, even blades of grass, everything that happens to them happens at the right time in exactly the right way because of Hashem's decree, Hashgacha Pratis, on absolutely everything. So according to the Baal Shem Tov, in our parking space example, he would say certainly every parking space that everyone gets, whether they get a good one, a bad one, a medium one, he would say that's all decreed by Hashem, you know, completely. And also, you know, in our tree falling on the house, obviously that's the same thing as well. Also, another important thing about the Baal Shem Tov is the possibility of listening to our messages. When something happens to us and we notice that we get this great parking space, are we supposed to, or we get a terrible parking space? What are we supposed to learn from this? Are we supposed to look at this and say Hashem is communicating to us? Hashem is trying to tell something to us? According to Baal Shem Tov, the answer is probably yes, because that's something we can always pick up on, because everything that Hashem does in the world to all of us always is specifically for a purpose and specifically done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the approach of the Baal Shem Tov. This is a very commonly accepted approach in contemporary Yiddishkeit throughout the world of Hasidim. It's something which is very, very much accepted, and it's accepted to a great extent by many other approaches as well. But this is approach number one. I want to move on. Before we move on to the Rambam, any questions? So far, from the sources that I read, so three of them, all of them were from Chazal. The first three were from Bavli and Yerushalmi. The fourth was from the Zohar, which is Kabbalah. But the that same Zohar is also found in Bereishis Rabbah, in the Medrash Rabbah. So it's not entirely from Kabbalah either.
Are there any Mamre Chazal or Gemaras which pose a direct problem to the Baal Shem Tov's Mahalach? Because, I mean, everything that's been quoted so far have been pretty supportive of his Mahalach.
Yeah.
Any obvious...
Yeah, we'll get there. Yep, good.
And just a small point. According to the Baal Shem Tov, like, when a person has Bechira, let's say a person chooses to move his hand a little bit, like,
That is one of the core questions in the whole sugya. Yeah, and in fact, so the Rambam really has three major objections to this approach. That's one of them. That's it. I'm sorry. His question is: so I have free will, right? But everything that happens in the world, according to Baal Shem Tov, is decreed for Hashem to happen in this way, in that way, every rock exactly which position it's going to be. So if I pick up this rock and I throw it, is that because Hashem decreed it to be thrown, or is that because I chose it to be thrown? Is that your question? Right. Or to make the question even, I guess, more pronounced, is I have free will. So if I wanted to, I could go strangle Daniel right now. And if Hashem decreed that Daniel should be strangled, so then maybe that means I don't have free will because I have to, or someone else has to. Or if Hashem decreed that Daniel shouldn't be strangled, that means I don't have free will because I can't strangle him. Sorry, Daniel. Sorry for picking on you. But this is the question. This is a major challenge with the approach of the Baal Shem Tov. And this is one of the major reasons that the Rambam rejects this approach. The Baal Shem Tov's approach, he didn't start with him. There was a an Arabic philosopher, the Asharite school of philosophy, the Arab philosophers. The Rambam talks about it more in Nevuchim, and he rejects this approach exactly for this question. You had a. What do you mean? Exactly right. Right. So people aren't going to be rewarded and people aren't going to be punished because people don't have free will. That's exactly the same. 100%. And that's exactly the objection number one that the Rambam has to this approach. Objection number two that the Rambam has to this approach is the issue of tzaddik v'ra'lo, of evil. How could there be bad things that happen in this world? Meaning, if every single thing that happens is decreed by Hashem, every single thing Hashem wants it to be exactly this way, there's so many terrible tragedies that happen, so many sad things that happen, and we have to say that this is what Hashem wanted, and this is somehow good, and this is somehow just, and it's so hard to explain how that works. And that is objection number two to this approach, meaning how can you explain everything that happens as good and just? And hopefully over the course of this year, and we're going to try to go ahead and explain the different explanations based on this approach. Objection number three is personally objection which I did not really identify with, but it is a strong objection that the Rambam makes, the Ralbag makes, and the Sefer Mechamos Hashem. And the Ralbag says this is objection that many philosophers had, which allowed them to completely reject the idea of Hashgacha, which is what Matt was hinting to before, which is Hashem is so great and is so grand, and he created the world, and he is infinite and so awesome. How is it possible that Hashem could care about parking spaces? How is it possible that a God who is so great and awesome can care about the little mundane things that happen in our daily life, that he cares about whether I stub my toe, whether I don't stub my toe, that he cares whether there's a blade of grass here or there? Personally, I don't appreciate this question. I don't understand the question. But this is something which many philosophers, the medieval times and beforehand, were bothered with. It's interesting. Does anyone here say V'yitein Lecha after Maariv on Motzai Shabbos?
Once a year.
Once a year. Okay. So in many, many shuls, not in the yeshivas, but in many, many Ashkenazi shuls, they say V'yitein Lecha after Maariv. And V'yitein Lecha is a long list of Piskei, Bracha, and Yeshua, and Geula, and it's, you know, I don't know, 150 psukim of all kinds of great things that we hope will happen to us over the course of the week. And at the very end of Yitei Mecha, it ends with a Mamar Chazal. Mendy, what's a Mamar Chazal? Don't know. So, anyone know? Some, keep going. Yeah. Okay, every place, very good. Every place that you find the greatness of Hashem, there too you will also find his humility. It's hard to know what that means, to find Hashem's humility. Dabar Zekasov Batorah is written in the Torah, Shonri Benavim. It's repeated in the Nevi'im, Meshulash B'Ksuvim, and it's repeated a third time in the Ksuvim. And then it gives all these examples of Psukim, that how, you know, Hashem is Gadol Gibor V'Anora, Hashem is so great. And then afterwards it says, Osa Mishpat Yasam Valmana, he helps out the widows and the orphans. Hashem is Ram V'Nisa, Hashem is so grand, but he's also Ezdako Shval Ruach, he's with the lowly people. So the question is why, first of all, what does this Gemara even mean? But also, why is this put at the end of Yitein Lecha at Maariv? So I think, perhaps, after seeing the Rabbag and the Rambam talk about this objection, is one of the major objections that people had to the idea of Hashgacha is Hashem can't care about the mundane things in our lives because he's so great and he's so grand. So the Gemara tells you, no, b'chol makom sha'ata motzei gevurah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single time in the psukim, it tells you about how great Hashem is. Right afterwards, it tells you, Shom Atamot Amosanuseo, Hashem is also humble. Hashem is not just Ram Venisa. Hashem cares about the poor person. Hashem cares about the widow, the orphan, the person who's depressed, because that is the way Hashem is. This is Chazal's response to that objection. Hashem is Gadol, but he's also Anav. He cares about the little things in your life as well. So Maariv Motzei Shabbos, we just finished Shabbos. We're about to start our work week. We're about to go out and run our businesses and do our jobs. That's when we have the constant internal struggle with Hashgacha, to be able to see Hashgacha Pratis and everything that happens in our professional lives. So we remind ourselves as we're about to start, don't be persuaded by these philosophical arguments about Hashgacha. No, kol makom atam motzei gilasha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on every little detail, you can find Hashgacha Pratis and it can be driven by Hashem. All right. I agree. I don't personally understand the question. I don't feel the question, but this, I'm just reporting, you know, what some of the Rishonim ask. Happens to be that Eov himself asked this question. In the 17th chapter of Eov, he asks this question. He says, "Ma enosh ki sigdelenu v'chisash eselav libcha." What is man that he's so great that Hashem is going to pay attention to what he does, but tifkadenu lebekarim, that he's going to visit us every morning, ulergoyim tifchanenu, and he's going to judge us every single moment? This is a question that Eov himself asked. So it's a question which obviously some people feel and some people understand, but personally it's hard for me to understand. So let's move on to the Rambam's approach. So the Rambam was bothered by these questions, and he develops his own approach in terms of what Hashgacha Pratis means, both who gets Hashgacha and when Hashgacha is applied, when Hashem intervenes, and for whom Hashem intervenes. But before we see what he writes in Mor Nevuchim, I first want to look at a couple of other things that the Rambam writes, starting in the Yad HaZaka on source number 6. So in source number 6, this is Hilchos Tanios. So I'll read the parts that are underlined.
So mitzvos aseh min haTorah lizok ulahariya b'chatzotzos akol tzara shetavo atzipor.
There's a mitzvah aseh in the Torah to cry out to Hashem
and to blow b'chatzotzos on every tzara, every bad thing, every calamity that happens to the tzibor. We'll skip down to halacha gimel. Aval im lo yizako. Let's say you don't call out. V'lo yariyu, and you don't blow the chatzotzos. Elo yomer, you say, Dover zeni minog ha'olam. This thing that happened was random. It's something which just came from ordinary nature. Minog ha'olam ira lano. V'tzara zu nikra nikris. This is just a just happenstance. Says the Rambam, Harei zu derech achzarius. This is being cruel. Because if you take this approach, v'goremes lahem lehidavik b'masim arayim, people will stay with their bad ways. They'll stay with their wicked ways. V'tosif hatzara tzaras acheros, and there'll be many other tzaras which will come afflict them. Hu shakasa b'torah, like the Torah said in this past week's parsha, v'halachtan imi b'keri, if you look at what I do as keri, as just happenstance, v'halachti imachem b'chamas keri, I will return that with the vengeful carry with more things which appear to be happenstance. So in other words, the Rambam is saying very, very clearly that when bad things happen, you have to realize that this comes from Hashem. And Hashem wants you to call out, and Hashem wants you to do tshuva. So it's very clear from this Rambam and Hilchos Tanis that the Rambam holds that Hashem intervenes, the Rambam holds of Hashgacha, and that people can't look at the things that happen to them as if it's mikra, as if it's thing which should happen. Yes. This case could be hashgacha kolos. Yes, what the Rambam could be described is definitely could be hashgacha kolos. But if we take a look at the next source in the letter that he wrote to Chachmei Marseille about astrology, so the letter is primarily about astrology. But there's one paragraph in here in which he talks about exactly this about hashgacha. So he says, "The Anu Bali HaTorah Hamitis, we the people who have the true Torah." Lo ne'emar shema'oros b'nei adam hem keri. We don't say that things that happen to people are happenstance. Ela b'mishpat. We say they happen through justice. K'mo she'omra Torah ha'tzur tamim pa'aloki chol drachav mishpat. That Hashem is perfect and all of His ways are just. U'pirish ha'navi v'omra asher enecha p'kuchos al kol d'archei b'nei adam laseis le'ish k'drachav v'fi ma'alav. Everything that happens to people, it's something the way they're supposed to get it. V'al dover zeh hisira ha'torah v'he'ida v'omra im lo tish me'uli. Sorry for reading so quickly, it's just a lot to read. That he says that anyone who gets these punishments from Hashem and he says, oh, it's just happenstance, Hashem will give them more of it. And now the last two lines are very, very important. He says, this is the ikur of our religion of the Torah of Moshe. Shekol me'oros she'iru ba'olam. Everything that happens in the world. V'chol yisurun shevivo. And all punishments that come b'derech mikra. Not exactly sure what those two words mean there. V'chol yisurun shevivo b'derech mikra. L'chlal b'nei adam. To all people. Din u'mishpat heim. They are just. And they are right. Nobody dies without first doing sin. So it sounds to me what the Rambam is saying, that everything that happens to people happens to them because Hashem wants it to. It's din u'mishpat. It's the right thing that has to happen. It's the just thing that has to happen. Everybody who gets yisurin, they only get it because they did sin. Anyone who dies, they only die because they have sin. It sounds like the Rambam is talking about a very broad hashgacha pratis that applies to every person. And he uses the words, "Hu ikar dasenu hi Torah Moshe Rabbeinu." This is the ikar of our religion, of Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, that everything that happens is dinu mishpat. It echoes the famous words of the Ramban, when he says that, "Ein adam chelek b'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu," you don't have any share of the Torah of Moshe, unless you believe something very similar to what he says here.
What is even the cloud?
So, good question. So I think that it means all people and all people are individuals. I'm sorry?
Was this a translation?
Ooh, good question. Good question. I don't know what language he wrote this in. It's a good question. I don't know. Good question. I'm sorry? This is not Mordor Brooklyn. This is a letter that he wrote to Fafnir in Marseille. I don't know if he spoke French. Is that my question? Okay. Yeah, I don't know if he spoke French or... Yeah, it's something worthwhile to look up. Thank you. Okay, let's move over to the Rambam in the Mordor Brooklyn. And Rambam in the Mordor Brooklyn seems to present something
a little bit differently than what he writes in...
and what he writes in this letter to
Fafne Marseille.
And
he writes a lot. He has 2.5 chapters in Mordor Brooklyn about it. I do not want to read the 2.5 chapters. I would like to just read little excerpts to save everyone from hating me. And hopefully I'm excerpting the right pieces and the right parts. And I didn't cut out too much from what I want to say. But I want to focus on two questions, which hopefully the Rambam will develop in here. One is, for who gets Hashgacha? It sounded from the letter of Marseille, everybody gets Hashgacha. And the other question is, when does Hashem give Hashgacha? When does Hashem intervene? When does Hashem get involved? Which it sounds from the letter to Chachme Marseille, always, on everything. So we'll see in the Mor Nevuchim, he presents things a little bit differently, and then we'll try to piece it together.
So in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam starts by presenting 5 different opinions about how Hashgacha works. Two Greek, 2 Arabic, 1 Torah, and then at the end, he adds his own little piece. So the 2 Greek, I only want to focus on one of them, which is Aristotle. On the Arabic, I don't want to focus on him so much. I want to focus on what he presents as the Torah's opinion, and then what he presents as his own opinion, which is actually slightly different than what he presents as the Torah opinion. So Aristotle was a great Greek philosopher. He lived at the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. He was actually hired to be Alexander the Great's personal tutor. So that was kind of right in the middle of the second Beis Hamikdash, maybe 100 years before the Hanukkah story. So Aristotle believed in God a little bit, a very, very different vision of God than we have. And I'll just read the Rambam summary of what he said about Aristotle's belief on number 8, source number 8. So he says, "Klolo shodaver hare sikum hashkafaso." And the words in the Mordor Brooklyn are really, really hard because they're a Hebrew translation of Arabic, which a lot of times Arabic is translations of Greek. It's hard. I'm not going to do the best job translating, but I'll do my best. So a summary of what Aristotle says, "Klolo shodaver hare sikum hashkafaso shekol davar shera'ahu Tadir lo yifsad, lo yishtane, lo nohe klal kamo hamatzavim hagalgalim. The things that never change, the things in the world that never ever change, like the orbits of planets. Oshahu holach ba'ofen sadir she'enu choreg ela ba'ofen nadir kamo hadvar mativiyim. Were certain things in the natural world outside of Earth, but things that exist in the orbits in the heavens. Omer kizeh behanhaga kolomer shehashkacha elokis mislav imo. Aristotle believed that there was Hashgacha, that God intervened to keep the planets and the orbits working properly. We're smarter than him. We know it's science. Maybe. But Aristotle thought that it was Hashgacha Hashem, which was revolving around which was making the planets revolve. And then it continued just past where I stopped underlining. V'chol ma sheroa she'enu noheg, but things which come and go, plants, animals, people, there's no hashgacha for that at all. There's no hashgacha for plants, animals, or people, only for the orbits and the planets out there in the world. That's Aristotle's approach. And the Rambam says, "Asher daitam kefi hashkafa zu, gam me'osam sheyotzu meklal toraseinu hema omrim azav Hashem es haaretz." Anyone who believes this, who says that Hashem is involved, is not involved, and doesn't interact with the people in this world or with this world itself, they're complete kofrim. They don't. They believe Hashem azav es haaretz. Aristotle's belief is complete kafira.
That's what the Rambam says. Because Aristotle believed there was no God intervention in this world, only in the orbits and planets. I was joking about what I said about science before. That is how the Rambam presents Aristotle's approach. So we're running a little low on time. So and I'll skip what he presents as the Torah's approach, because the Torah's approach is almost exactly what he said in the letter to Chachmei Marseille. Ein adam nokeh, that's basa milmata elinkeh machrin zolam milmala. That's what he says in the Torah's approach. And then in source number 10, he says something funny. He says, aval dati ani b'yisod hazeh k'lo mahashkach elokis, So the Rambam here says, I'm going to present explanation of how Hashkafa works, which is a bit different than what we say Chazal says. And part of what the Rambam is going to do is he's going to say certain Amar Chazal or Das Yafid, and we don't need to follow that. He says that there are certain of those ideas end up being strange and hard to accept. So he's going to present his own approach, which he says is true to the Torah and it's true to the Nevi'im, but it's something which is much more easy to accept and much more easy to understand. So what's his approach? So the Rambam says, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing inside, the Rambam says that Hashem's Hashkacha, and it's like a little bit like what Daniel was saying before, that Hashem's Hashkacha comes from our knowledge of Hashem and our connection to Hashem. If we know Hashem, if we understand Hashem, and if we're thinking about Hashem, and if we're connected to Hashem, then Hashem will know us, Hashem will pay attention to our needs, He will connect with us, and He will make sure to take care of our needs. Again, if we know Hashem, if we understand Hashem, if we're thinking about Hashem and we're close to Hashem, then Hashem will know us, meaning Hashem will pay attention to our needs, and He will exercise the Hashkacha, He will intervene in order to see that our needs are met. That is how the Rambam develops his idea of Hashkacha. And this is Hashkacha Pratis. And this is only for those who can know Hashem. So plants will have Hashkacha Kolos and not Pratis. They're going to have, Hashem is going to make sure that species of plant goes as he wanted. Animals, Hashem is going to have Hashkacha Kolos and not Pratis. Because animals can't know Hashem. They can't understand Hashem. People, so he says, those people who are atheists or Rasha'im, that these people, they also can't have Hashkacha because these people don't have any knowledge of Hashem. Now, as I mentioned before, that the Rambam today is not a very accepted approach in contemporary Yiddishkeit. It's nonetheless an important approach for us to understand because he's one of the Gedolei Rishonim and has written a tremendous amount about this, and we'll be able to find inspiration from the Rambam's approach. Like I mentioned, he's not one of the main accepted approaches today. But this is the Rambam's idea. And if we take a look at number 11. So this is in 318 in Moreh Nevuchim. So he says, really the point that Daniel was making. So he says, V'chevin shehadavar came. Since it's the case that people's hashkacha, Hashem's intervention, comes from people's knowledge and understanding and connection to Hashem, anyone who can have an additional portion of knowledge of Hashem, to the extent that he's able to perfect himself, this person's hashkacha is going to be more, and it's going to be greater. He's going to have a greater amount of hashkacha because he has a higher knowledge of Hashem, or a greater connection to Hashem. The imkain lo siya hashkacha elokis beishe kol min ha'adam ba'ofen shava. Not every person is going to get the same level and the same amount of hashkacha.
Elo yiyulahem yisronos ze alzeh b'hashgacha ki yisronos shleimus on enoshes. That people are going to have more and more hashgacha based on how more they are perfected as people.
Slide the scale.
Yeah.
So how does the Rambam jive us with Tzadik the Ra'o, or is he saying that the Ra is the hashgacha that Hashem wants for him?
So that's the next point that we're going to touch on, because that's what he discusses in the 51st chapter, and we're going to discuss that in a second. So far what we see in the Rambam, he's describing the sliding scale that we described, that the greater your knowledge and connection to Hashem, the greater amount of intervention Hashem will have on your behalf, the greater amount of Hashgacha practice you had. This does seem a little bit different than what he wrote in the letter to Chachmei Marseille, which implied that for everybody there's Hashgacha, and for everybody, everything that happens to them is just, everything that happens to them is chok u'mishpat. So how does this point connect to, how does this not contradict with what he wrote to Chachmei Marseille? And to Annie's point, how does this answer the question of Tzadik V'Ra'lo? So if we look at the next source, which is source 12, which is the very end of Moreh Nevuchim. So I underlined way too much, I'm sorry. So we'll read what he says. I'll read it quickly. Nearly ata ofen iyuniflamod. We can see something amazing. Shebo misparkim sfekos, in which we can dispel the doubts. V'yiskalu bo sodos elokim, and we can reveal secrets about Hashem. V'hu anu kvar be'armu pirkei hashgacha. We described earlier when talking about hashgacha. Ki v'fi erech das kol baldeya tia hashgacha bo. Based on the amount of knowledge of Hashem that every baldeya has, so will be their hashgacha. V'nei ha'adam hashalem b'hasagaso. A person who is perfect in their knowledge of Hashem. Asher lo sechtal daito me'Hashem tamid. Is always thinking about Hashem. Tiyeh hashgacha bo tamid. He's going to have hashgacha always. V'ha'adam hashalem b'hasagaso. Asher rokan es machshavto me'Hashem b'eith mesuyim. Let's say someone who has a tremendous knowledge of Hashem, and the person is very close to Hashem, but the person stops thinking about Hashem at a certain time. Harei tiyeh hashgacha olav be'eis machashavto b'Hashem bilvad. He's only going to have hashgacha at the moments that he is thinking about Hashem. V'tisrokan hashgacha mimenu bizman asakav. And when he's focused on other things, he's not going to have hashgacha. Not just the person's hashgacha slides based on their knowledge of Hashem, but the timing of their hashgacha slides based on their consciousness of Hashem and their thinking about Hashem. So we can skip to the next underlined part. So he says, Ulefikach nirali kol mi shepago bo ra, anything bad that ever happens to a person, from the bad things that can happen in the world. Even bad things that happen to prophets or to perfectly righteous people. That bad that happens to them only happens at moments where they're not connected to Hashem, where they're not thinking of Hashem. And based on the length of their absence from Hashem or how frivolous the thing that they were focused on, that's the opening that they give for bad to happen. Here the Rambam is presenting his answer to the question of how can bad things happen to good people, because the way he's saying this is that the world is a dangerous place because there's teva, there's nature running around in the world. The world is a dangerous place because there's mikra, there's randomness that happens in the world. But as long as a person is connected to Hashem, the person is thinking about Hashem, that person has a shmira from Hashem. That's how the Rambam understands hashgacha. He understands hashgacha as a shmira, that Hashem is going to watch over them and protect them. Not that Hashem is necessarily going to be micromanaging them. It's that someone who has a high level of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is thinking about Hashem, they can have protection in Shmira. So how does Avram Avinu die? How does Moshe Rabbeinu die? Every single person at some point in their life has some little bit of
of distraction. Not everyone can focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. The Gemara's story about David HaMelech died, that he was learning the whole time, so the Malach HaMavis couldn't come and take his life. One second he got distracted, so now the Malach HaMavis could come and take his life. That is how bad things happen in this world. So the Rambam is saying something amazing, which is he is saying that Hashem can't do what we perceive as bad. Hashem can't do Ra. Ra cannot come from Hashem. Hashem created a world where there's nature and where the world is broken and it's scary and there's bad people running around and there's tornadoes and there's hurricanes. And those things that are happening, Hashem is not decreeing on the people for these things to happen, but he actually is, because since every single person has the ability and the tools to connect to Hashem, everybody can learn about Hashem, everyone can think about Hashem, everyone can save themselves completely from any of the bad things that happen in nature and any of the bad things that happen in the world. This is, I think, how you put together what he writes in the letter to Chachmei Marseille, that everything that happens is chok and mishpat. Everything is righteous. Everything is right. Because a person who's connected to Hashem is going to be protected and he's going to be kept safe. A person who is lapsing in their connection to Hashem, so they are left to the wilds of Teva and they're left to the wilds of Mikra.
So the Malach HaMavis is not under Hashem's jurisdiction? Is that what we're saying? Is that what the Rambam is saying?
The Malach HaMavis is not under Hashem's jurisdiction. It would sound like the way the Rambam would say is that there are certain times where Hashem would give the Malach HaMavis, you know, rain. You know, that's part of what's included in nature and part of what's included in Teva. But a person has the ability to connect to Hashem. And how do we have knowledge of Hashem? You know, it can come from Talmud Torah. It can come from davening. It could come from saying Tehillim. There's many ways that a person can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring this person this special shmira, which is what the Rambam would call hashgacha, what we would call hashgacha pratis. Correct. So when you think about the strengths and the weaknesses of the Rambam's approach, so that's right. Meaning bad things that happen would not be any way associated with something that the person did. Now it could, that what would happen would be that bad things that happen come because the person did something wrong, but there's not necessarily a correlation, not nothing wrong, the person is not connected to Hashem, but there's no correlation between the thing that happens and why it is that they were left to nature. So an example, the tree falling on the family. So according to the Rambam, perhaps if there was a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this could have been saved. But without the greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is kind of random which house this tree fell on. It's something which is hard to absorb and it's something hard to appreciate. But what does come out of the Rambam, which is very important, is no matter what's going on in your life, everything can be improved, or hopefully everything can be improved, by a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By more tefillah, more tshuva, tehillim, davening, learning about Hashem, learning Torah, all these are ways to hopefully bring ourselves a shmira. And anything chas v'shalom that happens wrong, it should be a message to us that perhaps we could be connected to Hashem in a closer way. That's it. Questions? Yes.
What about Rosh
HaVetovlo? So Rosh HaVetovlo is Mikra. You got lucky. Everyone, I mean, someone's got to win the lotto. That's a good question. Let's focus on it for a second. Let's say something good happens to you. Something good happens to you is for one or two reasons. Either because you have a shmir from Hashem, or because you got lucky. Right. That's what it comes out of the Rambam. I hope people will come for the Ramban shir as well. Because Leil Shavuos, because the Ramban is an opinion which is much more broadly accepted in Klal Yisrael today. And something we hopefully will have a chance to learn apart.
There won't be any audio recording of that.
Won't be any audio recording.
I have to get new feeders with you, huh?